I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Nelson?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
So I'd like to request approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Mayor, may we add an executive session at the end?
Oh, sorry, yes. We're going to add an executive session at the end of the meeting, no action to follow. So you want to amend your motion to add the executive session,
I make an amendment to the motion to add executive session at the end of the council meeting. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So I would like to give this little award. So you want to come up? Are you going to take a picture?
Yes.
Kevin?
Kevin, camera. Picture?
A phone award.
So I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
Make a motion for the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now it's time for public comments. Those wishing to address council, please step up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone wishing to address council?
Philip Acosta, Black Diamond. I bring more bad news from the corner of 288th and 169, State Highway 169. They're going to be putting a sewer in from that new, it would be the south side of the Maple Valley Highway, just over the crest there, down about halfway to 216th. And that sewer project's going to last over a month. So what you're going to have probably is one lane diversions, and you'll have a large amount of traffic being released to go down to 169 to try to get across the, take the left there, northbound on 169. So it's going to be a dangerous situation. I don't know if there's been any talk about putting signage up to give people some awareness that that's going to take place right after Thanksgiving. Okay, and then I also heard today, when I stopped in to see Ted Strand at Lake Sawyer store, that they're building 34 homes in that wooded area just adjacent to the store. And along with the rezones currently being considered, there doesn't seem to be any signage or public notice that are readily available. I don't get the voice of the valley if that's where the notifications are coming, and I'm not seeing any notifications on the properties that there's application for rezones or just a heads up for the community to know that that a development is in the works. Traffic congestion and improved infrastructure have been moved off the table while we continue to allow development to have their way with little or no mitigation fees. What happened to infrastructure before development? What benefits are the residents of Black Diamond getting from the rezoning and maximizing of these properties? Traffic in our area is a hot topic, yet we continue to build with only a roundabout and a narrow reinforced bridge to show for it. I think most of that traffic is diverting to 288th or 272nd. It's really hard getting across by the coal car. This council needs to represent the feelings of our community. We've got a 6,000 home development on our plate right now, and do we really need any more density at this time? Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Did you want to come up?
He wants to speak during the public hearing.
What?
He wants to speak during the public hearing.
Oh, okay.
On the lifeline issue.
Okay. Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Gary?
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, Gary Davis, Black Diamond. I think something that needed to be mentioned is that we've got that large 10 Trails development there that Oak Point is doing, and now they're trying to do, not them necessarily, but other property owners are trying to do a rezone to bring in several hundred, possibly as many as 1,000 residential units in from that area all the way down to 169, and we're not adequately responding to what Oak Point is doing. So before anything else gets approved, we ought to get a better idea of what we're going to have to do to straighten out the mess that's happening with 10 Trails. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. The next item on the agenda is we have three public hearings. The first one is an ordinance regarding the utility rate structure. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. This is a restructuring of the utility policy. Ordinance has been reviewed by the Public Works Committee and is recommended to move forward to the full council. What we're tonight, we wanted to take public testimony, and I will just be giving a brief summary of the ordinance. So the restructure accomplishes kind of four major things. The first being, and kind of the major thing that prompted this was, we currently charge residential customers on multiple residential customers on a single meter, like the Cedarbrook Mobile Home Park, multifamily units. We charge them as commercial customers, which means they pay sewer fees for every gallon that goes through the meter. Among other things, one of the other impacts is once we shifted to tiered rates, they are treated as one unit, and therefore they are charged, they quickly, once they get over 600 cubic feet, are charged in the higher rates. So all the residences in a multifamily unit pay at the highest tiered rate. So this restructure will treat all residential customers and the billing system the same, regardless of their housing type. So that's the first thing. The second part of it is to move the utility rates out of the ordinance and to a summary utility rate sheet that would be adopted by a resolution. This will assist the city to have all of the rates in one place, to keep them current and not have to recodify the code annually. Thirdly, the ordinance cleans up some language with regard to the authority of various positions in enforcing the code to current titles and positions within the city. And finally, this restructuring will make some structural changes to allow people in residences in multifamily and mobile home parks to be eligible for the Lifeline program. With that, we're open to take testimony from the public. Thank you.
Is there anyone wishing to testify to the restructuring? Yes, sir. Yes.
Just a couple of comments.
We need your name and your
problem. Yeah, I'm sorry. My name is Jake Bond. I'm here representing the Cedarbrook Mobile Home Park this evening. And just a handful of comments with regards to the proposal and the restructuring. First and foremost, we're very appreciative of the city's consideration and would just like to make a couple of points with regards to the Lifeline program. Understanding the city's constraints with regards to their ability to discount any of the fees that our residents or other residents of the city may be able to pay. Cedarbrook prides itself on being an affordable housing solution for the city and would just like additional consideration with regards to more flexibility on the Lifeline program. Currently, it's structured whereby you have to be both low income and senior citizen in order to qualify for the program. And we're hoping to expand the program such that residents below a certain income threshold would be able to qualify for the Lifeline program. And second, just a comment with regards to the efficiency that's oftentimes found in manufactured housing as compared to traditional residential. We did a quick study of our average consumption per household. And generally speaking, and I know it's different for everyone, but you're looking at about 60 to 80 gallons per day per individual per household in most traditional forms of residential. We calculate that each household in our community uses approximately 145 gallons per day. Most of our residences, although not all of them, are occupied by four or more individuals, primarily younger families. So on an average, you're looking anywhere between 30 and 40 gallons per day. So although the tiered structure and them qualifying for the lower rate will certainly help, that those cost savings are offset by the additional service fee that they would be paying for the sewer, which I believe is approximately $44. So just additional consideration with regards to the efficiency of manufactured housing and them not putting as much strain on the system to help offset some of those expenses.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council on the ordinance regarding the utility rate structure? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. The next public hearing is on the 2020 preliminary budget. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Council and Mayor. Yes, tonight is the first official public hearing for the 2020 preliminary budget. We've had numerous work studies on the budget. We started early in the year, but had the first full council work study September 26th, another one October 17th, and another one October 24th, and also had a public hearing just on the property tax, or not public hearing, work study, on the revenues and the property tax piece of the budget. So we've already had some work studies where we could go over this, but tonight is the official public, first official public hearing on the preliminary budget. And I want to say that the preliminary budget is in balance for all the operating and capital funds. The budget itself primarily focuses on public safety. The biggest percentage of the general fund, the operating fund, it covers police, fire, court, and emergency management. But also it covers all the other operating costs, the permitting, 10 trails, permitting development costs. And that's really booming. So as all the growth is occurring here in Black Diamond, we've had a limited number of positions that were added this year in the budget. One was a police officer. One is a building inspector, code compliance position, and a part-time court and summer helper for public works. Just trying to keep up with the growth and all the increases in Black Diamond. Also on the capital side, we've gotten some increased funding from the sale of the homes and their development, and that has helped us put some money aside for capital. Next year's budget includes some wayfinding signs for Black Diamond, some gym improvements, and a sub-area plan for the historic downtown district with a focus on parking. Also funded our street projects for asphalt overlay, seal coating, chip sealing, as well as a water main replacement at Morganville, a storm pond vault project, and engineering for Covington Creek Culvert. So the budget is a nice, robust budget with lots to do next year. It's also a conservative budget with an increase to fund balance, as we need to keep that in there every year to show that we're setting aside funds for rainy days in case that happens, then that as your costs go up, you also increase your savings at the same rate. This is the first public hearing tonight. There will be another one December 2nd. It's on a Monday. And we're here tonight to take public input.
Is there anyone wishing to have input on the preliminary budget for 2020? Kristen?
Kristen Bryant. I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond, and I came to the budget hearings or the work studies that occurred earlier, and one of the things that I'm wondering about for the council is there was a capital expenditure to do a traffic study, I believe to set traffic mitigation fees. And earlier this year, that came up as something that might occur in 2019, I believe, but it's been put into 2020. And it's a really important item. We, you know, are all hearing about and concerned about traffic. I have two thoughts on it. One is that the best way to mitigate traffic is to really look carefully at your zoning and your development potential, because adding the cars to reduce traffic, it's probably better not to add the cars in the first place, especially where you don't have to and you've already got a lot of development coming with 10 trails. But the other thing would be just that that study is really important, and anything you can do to make sure that it does get done and stays in the budget would be beneficial, I believe. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to testify about the preliminary budget? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. The next public hearing is on an ordinance regarding the city's Lifeline program. Ms. Miller.
Yes, tonight we are excited to have an ordinance, a public hearing, an ordinance on the Lifeline program. We talked about that a little bit earlier. It's been a good process to go through and try to to expand that so we could offer the discount. That's a utility, 50% utility discount on the city charges that we regulate. They did mention earlier that it is seniors and 62 and over, or disabled, or people on home kidney dialysis. We plan in the future to look at other ways. We've got some paperwork and ways to look at expanding, but we want to start out with this. We have to update our forms and everything and get that ready to go so that we can allow additional people. This will be not only the mobile home residents, but anybody that lives in a duplex or an apartment or a ADU, anyone that's really, like Seth mentioned earlier, that is just like a resident no matter where they live. So we're going to be expanding that. We'll be getting out that news the next newsletter so that we can, you know, let our residents know. And I think it'll be a good program to offer. So there's possible council action after the public hearing. Does that need to be closed first, the public hearing? Okay, so if there's any other comments on the Lifeline program, I'll step aside and let residents comment.
I think the council action is for the property tax one.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, is it for the Lifeline? Oh, okay. So is there anyone wishing to testify about the Lifeline program?
Excuse me. My name is Michael Algier, and I live in Cedarbrook Mobile Home Park. I moved in there in 90. My wife lived there since 87. I am disabled. I'm waiting on a hip. I've got part of a leg. Had my neck broke. I've been through a lot, but I was dealt disability in 90. I live on $578 a month. My wife is disabled with her back. She lives on $578 a month, and I can't work or do something on the side because I can't lift or anything like that, and besides, the SSI they give me wouldn't allow it. I wouldn't have an income, but I was just interested. I wrote a few notes here. That Lifeline program sounds really good to me. This is, but I'm a senior. I have lived at Cedarbrook Mobile Home since 1990, and what I told you before. But I was asking, see, on each month now, we're going to start having to pay our water bill in January. We pay our garbage next month. We've never had to have to do that before. But as far as splitting it between the whole place even, I don't know if that's a good idea, because half the places in there, some of them got four adults and six kids. Some of them got parents and four kids. I mean, they fit them all in there, don't kid yourself. And I just want to be sure that I'm getting, you know, because me and my wife live by ourselves, and I'm sure I don't use no 150 gallons a day. We used to have beautiful flowers, but this year we have none. I've taken out most of them already because I'm not going to be able to afford to have them. You know, that's my hobby, is my flowers and stuff like that. So I'm going to have to learn to do something else, I guess. But I just was wanting to know if any of the seniors at the park are facing, many of the seniors at the park are facing the same dilemma. And I just wanted to know if the utility, what you spoke of today, utility Lifeline, if that's going to be able to be done at the park too, or is that going to be just for the city?
It will be part of Cedarbrook Mobile Home Park.
All right. That's all I have. It had me worried. It has me worried. I must admit. And thank you for letting me have this time. And can I submit this letter for the Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for listening to my mumble. Have a good evening.
Is there anyone else wanting to address council on the Lifeline program? Seeing no one, we will close this public hearing.
So I'll answer maybe briefly a little bit more about the Lifeline program. Part of the restructuring and the Lifeline change was to recognize, originally it was set up as a commercial with permitted 120 units, and now we're only going to be charging for the actual number of mobile homes in there, so that reduced some. Also, the way Mr. Botcher mentioned that the rates were charged at commercially, they were a little higher, so we restructured those. A disabled person will be eligible for that Lifeline program, and they'll be paying 50% of the city rates, and we've allowed, so they don't go the second higher tier. That will also help. One of the problems we have with our bills is that we have the Metro sewer rate, and it's a fixed $44 rate, and the King County does not allow us to have Lifeline on that rate. Might be something we could see if we could work with King County on, but that's a fixed rate that we have to charge each mobile home, and they don't allow the discount. So unfortunately, that's part of their bill. We've also allowed the consumption for all the Lifeline to be allowed at the 600 cubic feet a month. So anyone on Lifeline will all be the same, but the others will work with the management down there to make sure that their own billing will be able to bill the rest of the residents on their actual water consumption. So that should help. There is a minimum amount on water, though. So with that, I'm here with an ordinance if you wish to pass these changes for the Lifeline program so we can begin that. We still have to fix our forms and work with Mobile Home Park to get that information out, but we'll be starting to take applications, and probably that will be in place in January, I would imagine. Our rates are being changed in our system in January, so we had to have time to actually get all that information in January, so the physical rates will be changed in January.
I make a motion to adopt ordinance. To adopt ordinance number 19-1130, amending the Black Diamond Municipal Code to allow residents of Black Diamond multifamily mobile home parks, apartments, duplexes, and ADUs to apply for the utility discount program.
Second. Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I want to say thank you for coming tonight, because we don't get a lot of participation from Cedarbrook. But we have been meeting with the owners and the management, with May Miller, as a couple of us city council members have. So the city, from my perspective, is very willing to work with your management and ownership to help you folks, because you are the folks that need the help. But keep in mind, too, we can't do anything about Metro. But about the Metro sewer, you understand? And so, but I think May's got a good working relationship with your management, and they'll continue to work together, so be patient. But no, you did good. Yeah.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
I actually had a thought. Sorry, trying not to call. So we've been talking about what to do with that possible money from the sales tax thing, right? Or the tax thing, right? We were talking about skip and all those kind of things. Would anything, if we were to set up maybe an aid program for those on Lifeline to help maybe offset the cost of the county sewer? Is that something we could do without having any weird tax implications for the people receiving it?
It's certainly something we can look into and see if the, since it's a brand new program, the Affordable Housing Tax Credit, I don't know that there's a lot of guidance yet on the different types of things that cities have flagged the money for. That sounds like it's something that might be in the ballpark. So
yeah,
I think we could look at that.
You think about affordable housing, you think about the whole picture, right?
Right.
You got to think about electricity and water and sewer and all those. And if we could take some of that money and maybe figure out a set up a fund that would help offset costs like we do for water for the metro, that might be good. Can help.
Councilmember Deedy?
So we can also go back and amend the ordinance. I know in our meetings we were talking about, you know, what does qualifies for senior, what's the age, and I think it's King County, right, that says 62 is senior.
The HUD. HUD federal.
HUD. Yeah. Okay, so it's HUD. So I don't know, because we tossed around, you know, could it be 58, 60, you know, where. So I think we'll look into that a little more and see if that's something the city can do, because I know that there's a lot of residents that are, you know, in between 62 and 55 that could use help. And are, you know, I think a lot of people are considered seniors at 55 right now. I know the 55 and older senior housing. So it would be good to look into that. I'm fully in support of this. I think, you know, between the community center and the city helping our residents be able to pay their bills and feed their families and everybody, their pets, is a good thing for cities to get involved in and help our community.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is the preliminary budget of revenue sources and possible increase in property tax. Ms. Miller.
Yes, this is a public hearing. We're required by the state to have a public hearing also on just separately on the property tax portion. We did have a work study on November 7th on that and spent some time with the council really going over property tax. We're required by the state to really look at our revenue, make sure we need that, make sure we follow the rules. We looked at the amount, what would a citizen, how does this affect the citizen? Right now, if a person owned a $380,000 home in Black Diamond, their total property tax bill would be about $3,578 a year. But of that, Black Diamond only gets $667, or $55 a month, $1.70 a day. So I think it's a quite reasonable. We use 100% of property tax to go towards public safety. That doesn't cover all the cost of public safety, but we use all of the money, property tax money we get towards that. The county requires that we actually pass two separate ordinances when we're looking at property tax. The first one, we are allowed as a city under 10,000 to have a 1% increase per year. King County calculates what that amount is, and it's $15,958. And that amount is divided amongst every dollar of homes and land and property businesses, property values in Black Diamond. So it's pretty small for each owner to pay. We need that money really to keep our base at that as much as we can, because a 1% doesn't cover any cost of inflation hardly for any one of the public safety budgets. So it's important, I think, that if we can, that we pass that. The second ordinance that we require is that we adopt the assessed valuation that they gave us on their worksheet, and that was $1 billion this year for the first time. So every year it's been increasing, but what that really means is now we're adding all those new homes, and those people are going to be paying property tax too, and their value goes on our property tax roll. So the dollars we're going to get increased next year is only $15,000 from all the regular people, the people that already had homes. all the new people will be paying any additional money that we get. The dollar amount, we have to say, it's not going to go beyond this level. And so we take the dollar amount they give us and add $30,000 so that it can cover any other increases, because they're still gathering information through December 5th. And by law, we have to have that adopted tonight so that we can get it into county by their October 30th deadline. So the King County actually will reduce the amount that they bill out to citizens to exactly what it is. Those are all estimates they've given us, and it gives us that leeway. They can't go higher, but they can, if they find some money, as they did last year in that last month period, we can go ahead and collect that. And it's usually from new construction or from some utility tax we get from the state. They won't increase the 1%. So with that, I'm here to take public comments.
Is there anybody wishing to testify to the preliminary budget of revenue sources and possible increase in property tax? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. So the next item is new business ordinance number adopting a percentage increase in the 2020 property tax. Ms. Miller.
Okay, these are the two ordinances I just spoke about that we're allowed to adopt this year. There wasn't any public comments, so I think we're safe going forward with those amounts for this year. And I'm here to answer any other questions you might have. There's two separate ordinances they're going to introduce that I just described. One that has the dollar amount of the 1% and that percentage that goes with it. And the second one saying maximum and what our assessed valuation is. I'll wait here until
I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 19-1131, approving the property tax dollar increase and percentage as calculated by King County for 2020.
Second. Is there any discussion? Councilmember Wisniewski.
I wish we had like a big billboard that we could put this pie chart and show. I think it's a kind of a, everybody just assumes that all their property tax goes to the city, right? And a little bit goes to the county and a little bit goes to the state, but it's really just the reverse of that, right? Most of your property tax actually go to either your school district or the state school fund, and the city gets 20% of your property tax. So when you think about, and we spend it all on health and safety.
That's right.
It still doesn't cover the costs.
That's right.
Right? So when you ask, why do we need to add another police officer, another police car or something like that, right? Well, we're a growing city and we're below where we were before, and we're struggling to cover where we can cover, right, and make sure we don't have just one patrol officer out there at a time, right, so that they actually have backup that's not half an hour away. So going through the budget process is always pretty eye-opening, right? And I think looking at this pie chart, like I said, it'd be great if we could put it up on a big billboard somewhere so everybody could see it, and so they'd realize how little of their property tax the city actually gets. As a tax, a homeowner here in the city and a taxpayer, I was amazed when I saw it last year and amazed again.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next ordinance is adopting the total property tax dollars for the 2020 budget. Ms. Miller.
Yes, again, this is the maximum dollars we could possibly collect based on King County's formulas. They set all the assessed valuations themselves. They set the rate it can be collected, so we only get our 1%. And they set what the new construction is that the new citizen will pay. So this says this is the $1 billion assessed valuation, that's rounding it. And this is the maximum dollar amount we can collect next year. So this is also a required ordinance that has to be adopted tonight so we can meet the time frame of the state law.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 191132, setting the estimated assessed valuation and minimum property tax dollar maximum, sorry, thank you, and maximum property tax dollars amount for 2020 to be used for public safety, including police, fire, and emergency services.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Councilmember Deedy?
So kind of off of what Mr. Winowski stated, it's not just police, it's also fire, court,
emergency service.
Emergency services. So, I mean, they're all very important services. I'd also like to tell you, May, that my property evaluation just came in and it went up $50,000. So.
Yeah, but I didn't do that. King County did.
But you'll be happy when I pay my taxes. Yes. So.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're on to department reports. Commissioner Farrell.
Thank you. Well, this is a sad one for the Fire Ad Hoc Committee, because we have worked for a number of years, and I'm here again, not wanting to, but here again to present in appreciation of service to Chris Wisnowski for his time on the Mountain View Black Diamond Fire Ad Hoc Committee. And I'd like to present this to you.
All the awards.
Get the chief in. Kevin, can you get the chief in?
Get one with the chief.
Yeah, with you guys all, yes, please.
Oh yeah, hey chief.
Yeah,
there you go.
I only take 1 minute. Yeah. 1 minute.
Thank you. On another sad note, the Board of Commissioners of the Mountain View Fire and Rescue voted unanimously to invoke the 3-year separation section of the contract with the City of Black Diamond. This is done after long negotiations. As the population of Black Diamond increases and the demand for services rise, the rate paid for fire service has decreased, costing the other citizens of the district to carry a greater portion of the burden of paying for fire service. This cannot continue. We will, during this transition period, continue to offer the high-quality services of Mountain View Fire and Rescue to the City of Black Diamond, as it has come to expect. And we still look forward to negotiations with the City Council to continue, we hope, to solve this problem. Thank you very much.
Chief Smith.
All right. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. You should have a report in front of you from me. So, no fires in the city during this reporting period. Can't say the same for the district. We actually had a fire in 11,000 square foot residence. A couple of weeks, 11,000 square feet. It was under construction, and the sprinklers yet weren't on. And it pretty much, we got the call at about 12 o'clock at night when people saw a red glow in the sky. And so when our folks showed up, all the roofs were pretty much collapsed into the building already. So it only takes one fire for you to have a really big loss. And so, you know, our loss this year before this probably was maybe a few thousand dollars. Now it's going to be a million some dollars in fire loss. So
where was that located? That's unincorporated King County.
Yes, yeah. You know where Kelly's Latte is?
Yeah.
about half a mile east of that.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's like 20 lots up there where new homes are going. And they're all new, so there was nobody living up there yet. So no one saw it. Someone was coming home about midnight, saw a glow in the sky, and that's how we got the call. So, and it's a suspicious fire. It's being investigated as a suspicious fire. So spoke with Andy about that because, you know, we always have concerns with new homes. And so, but the nice thing about, like, 10 trails in some of those areas, they're populated. So it's a lot harder for something like that to occur. EMS calls, 16. Hazardous conditions, 2. Service calls, 2. Good intent calls, 2 for 22 incidents during this reporting period for 1.6 calls per day. We're still... I spoke with our captain, who is working in conjunction with one of the vendors for fire apparatus, and we should have that. We redid the fire engine specs, fixed them, because they were like a year old. So should have those in about a week, and then we will send out an RFP to hopefully get at least, well, and the RFP will say state that we are purchasing these vehicles off HCAC buy. So I'll let you know in that process. I want to get this thing done. So that's why I've been calling my captain every day. Where's the specs? Where's the specs? Where's the specs? So we're working on that. We had our first audit with L&I came in and audited this. And it was a successful audit. In fact, we're getting some money back. So that's a good thing. A little bit. A few bucks. You know, so we've never had an L&I audit before, and we survived this one. And a couple years ago, we had the first time we were audited by the state retirement system. We had never had that before. So you never know who's going to come in and check you out. So, but we've always been successful in all of those. So, and we're starting our state auditors audit next month, I think. I met with M. Dirt and Andy regarding some new addressing out at the MPDs. And I think that's about all I have for right now.
So I saw the fire truck and an aid car out on Lake Sawyer Road. I think it was Sunday. Do you know what that was?
Sunday. Boy, I know that we had a CPR event on the lake.
This was not on the lake. This is on the highway. It looked like somebody had a skateboard in the middle of the road. Maybe somebody fell off their skateboard or something.
I don't recall any calls with some, you know, I don't know what happens at every single, I mean, especially aid calls. I mean, we have those all the time. So no, you know, it's just an aid call. So I'm not sure. But I will certainly, Sunday.
There was a fire engine and an aid car, and then somebody had parked there with their lights on, and we had to drive it. You were in the middle of the road.
You know, something in my head is telling me that something occurred there, but I can't remember what it is. So I will go back tomorrow. I will look at our call log, and I'll give you an email and let you know what that was.
Okay.
It couldn't have been anything significant, because if it was, I'd know. So
okay.
I'll let you
Mayor,
know.
Mayor, can I?
Councilmember Edelman.
First of all, I want you guys to know that I'm really disappointed that we got that 3-year letter. I do feel like we have been trying to talk, but I still have questions. I won't be here when you guys meet again in January, but looking at this tonight where you talk about the suspicious fire that was in unincorporated King County, do you know how many calls go out of Station 98 that go into unincorporated King County? Because we don't see those statistics.
Not off the top of my head, I don't.
But
But
if you're going to negotiate in good faith, you need to provide us with the data that shows for your district, how many calls do you get? How many come out of Station 98? Out of Station 98, how many go to unincorporated King County that may have a Black Diamond address, but that doesn't make them in the city limits? And that's been my concern from the get-go, and I've kept my mouth shut, which is quite surprising, but I think we as a city need that information. Just because Station 98 rolls doesn't mean it's a city of Black Diamond resident. So, and I understand I'm a short-timer, But I think to continue the discussion in good faith, this city council and the mayor need that information. How can we make a decision if we don't have the whole story? So, thank you.
Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Smith. So, time for the mayor's report. I attended skateboard on Tuesday. Washington State Active Transportation Plan was described, which is a plan, so it really wasn't very much detail. PSRC talked about airport sightings and how they didn't think that one in Eastern Washington would work because they want freight going back and forth, and they figured that if somebody had freight that originated from or went to Moses Lake and was shipped out, Moses Lake wouldn't have anything to ship back to Seattle where everybody goes. So there was a little bit of a discussion about that, but Bremerton wants to be cited as an airport. Painfield has room to for more expansion. So they do realize that they're not going to have enough space at SeaTac and that they're going to have another airport. And they prefer to have it on this side of the mountains because they want the freight to be able to come over here and go back loaded. And so that's the idea of having it all on along the west coast. So, and then we had the mayor's luncheon in Renton and discussed homelessness again and what some cities were doing about it. The city of Kent has lots of services, so when they get somebody that wants to be placed or treated or whatever, they have some place to take them. We don't have any services in Black Diamond. We don't have a lot of homelessness here. We have some couch surfing and a few homeless people, but because we don't have services, we don't have a lot of homeless people. So council report, council member Deedy.
So I attended finance, public works, community development, and Chris Manowski, it's been a pleasure working with you. When you came and interviewed with I think there was four other people that were interviewing. When we went back for executive session to discuss, I came out and immediately made a motion for you. So I've never regretted that. So you've done an excellent job. Thank you. So I will miss you on the council. Let's see. I did meet with Seth Botcher a little bit, talking about the piles of wood out here in the new clearing that they just did on Railroad. I mentioned to him some of my concerns with those huge piles. Seth had mentioned maybe he would look into just seeing what it would cost to remove those piles and get back to us as a council and say, you know, here's our options. We can spread those piles out, or it'll cost so much to remove them. I just see them as a hazard for the city. So I personally would like them to be removed. I've talked to Seth about that, so he knows my feelings on that.
He does have a number for you.
Do you?
I remember what it is if you don't.
I didn't know we had a number, but Scott overheard that me talking about the issue. And he said, well, we do have a number. The contractor who did the work made an offer to us to haul out the material. It was $46,000 to haul it away. Yes.
Yeah. $46,000.
Not $4,600.
I think that it would be good to go out for bid and not just for one person, but also to see, you know, Seth and I talked about taking some of those logs and putting them along the property line, which we thought was going to happen anyways. But so what is it going to cost for us to put logs along there so people don't bring their motorcycles or quads, their vehicles out there having some good time in that area right there, that park? So I'd just like the council to think about it, and hopefully community development, Public Works will get a figure, figure out what it's going to cost us, and then we can revisit that come January and figure out, you know, is this something that we want to do? What's the concern with the neighbors also that are out there? Just, you know, looking at all the things that we could do and what would be the best for the citizens and for the city of Black Diamond.
That's it. Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you. I did also attend the community development meeting today with Tammy, where we discussed more issues about code enforcement, which we'll be working through here in the future. Other than that, it's been a pretty quiet week. We do just want to remind the community, we do have a Thanksgiving community dinner that's sponsored by the Kiwanis and complimented by the PTA. So it'll be a great time to come out this Sunday, I believe 11 to 1. Unfortunately, I probably won't be able to make it. There's also great events going on in Enumclaw that I'll be attending as well as a business owner. So, and on that, that's my report. Thank you.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I also went to the Public Works meeting last week. I want to talk about the Public Issues Committee meeting briefly, because I do have a handout. I'm going to give this to Brenda so that she can make copies for everybody on the council. It has to do with this regional homeless authority. It seems to change every couple of days. And so this was last Wednesday's version. And there's a fancy chart that goes with it. I also have a copy of the draft SCA legislative agenda for everybody. So I'll give this to Brenda and she can make sure that it's in everybody's mailboxes. Thank you. There is a Sound Cities Association dinner coming up on the 4th of December. And so it's really a neat networking event. And so I would encourage my fellow council members to go. All you have to do is contact Brenda and she works her magic and it happens. And you get your invitation. Also, if you're interested, Deanna Dawson, who is the director of the Sound Cities Association, has mentioned that she would like to come out and talk to us and talk to you about the Sound Cities Association and what they do. So you guys might want to think about that and maybe let the mayor or Brenda know and they can get Deanna on the schedule for sometime next year. And I just want to say, Chris, I'm going to miss you, but you know what? You and I can go sit in the peanut gallery. Because neither one of us are dying, and we're not moving out of the neighborhoods, so we can come back and still voice our opinions, just won't have as much weight behind it. So, but thank you for your service. Yeah, but I appreciate your service. You've just been a real pleasure to work with.
Thank you.
Councilmember Stout.
Thank you. I attended the Public Works Committee meeting. I attended the Finance Committee meeting, where we basically go over the checkbook for the city for the current period. I attended the work study that we had on our city rates for our utilities with Ashley Emery, who has a consulting business where he has a pretty fancy little spreadsheet where he can show us if we increase a little bit here or a little bit there, or we do less or we do more, he can show us what the total outcome will be and how it will affect the citizens' pocketbooks and the city budget. And so he gave a good presentation. I also attended the PIC meeting where a lot of the discussion was about this homelessness authority. I'm still pretty concerned about it. It changes that very day. So we had a presentation before us from the previous month, and then two different opportunities were presented on that same day, that very day, like from 2 hours before the meeting. So obviously it is not a done deal. It is not something that has consensus with anyone. And I've already told you that I have some concerns about it. So it's definitely a work in progress. there's a lot of talk about hurrying up to get this thing going, and I would like to not hurry up and not get it going and not make a disaster out of, you know, people running around not knowing what they're doing. So homelessness is certainly a concern, and we certainly need to be doing something about it, but maybe not that thing that's being tossed around. I also attended the pre-PIC meeting, which was enlightening, to say the least, where an attorney from MRSC explained to us several court cases related to homelessness. One very in the news case from Boise, Idaho, and several from Los Angeles, where it has been determined, the Boise case, that the sit, lie, camp ordinances, you know, you can't sit on the sidewalk, you can't lie on the sidewalk, you can't camp in these places, cannot be enforced because that criminalizes homelessness and addiction and violates the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution, which prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. So municipalities really have their hands tied. To just put it in a nutshell, the attorney told us that when you can enforce those rules, those ordinances in various cities, is when the person has a choice to go someplace else. So if they could go to a shelter, or if they could go to a hotel because they have resources, or if they could go to a family member's home or whatever, then you can say you can't just by choice sit here. However, for example, say there's a person who has a pet, but the shelter won't take the pet, then there's no shelter available to them. If it's a husband and wife or a couple, and there's only a male shelter or a female shelter, and they don't want to be separated, then there's not an option. You can't force them to be separated to go to that shelter. If there's, for example, a man with a child, but the shelter only accepts women with children, anyway. Also, they can't be required to attend church services or any kind of indoctrination when they go to a shelter. So it really, you know, reduces the number of options available. But this is where we are, and this is why when you drive down I-5, you see these tent encampments along the way. Also, we were told that you can't just go clean up an encampment. If you take somebody's stuff, you have to store it for them. And so that would turn into a giant hazardous waste kind of emergency. So these are the problems that we're looking at with homelessness. As the mayor mentioned, we don't have a lot of homelessness in Black Diamond, and I would say in capital letters, yet. It's leaking, you know, and it will continue to move until this problem is addressed on a larger scale than we have here in Black Diamond. But we need to keep our eyes open, and we need to not sit still and wait until we have a problem and then try to deal with it. So these are the things that we're dealing with when we go to these PIC meetings and sometimes the SCA. On the note of the SCA networking dinner on December 4th, the speaker will be the University of Washington president. So that'll be a good interview with her. So that is my report.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Well, I want to thank everybody, the staff, council, all the citizens for your support. Tonight's my last council meeting. I want to thank everybody. It's been great. I've learned a lot. I'm not going away. I'll just be out there like I was before, making sure people keep the best interests of all of the citizens of Black Diamond in mind, not just whatever your one ticket item might be, your group might be interested in, but everybody up here represents all of the citizens of Black Diamond. And I'm going to keep you through that. So, good luck. And if you ever need anything, you know where I live.
Councilmember Nelson?
I'm going to pass this out. There's some over there. Most of my time has been consumed with my younger son this last couple weeks, getting him set up. He's getting sworn in to the Army on Tuesday. And there's been a lot of physical fitness stuff, testing, and running around. That's consumed a lot of my time the past week or so, just getting excited for him to go, and then sitting back and realizing that my youngest son's going to go, and then I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to, like, meet my wife again. But this is something that's it's going till the 27th. Richard Sherman Foundation has challenged non-NFL members to give to the food bank. All the food is going to Maple Valley. The money is going to be split between Black Diamond and Covington. And then Maple Valley is going to distribute as needed to Black Diamond. Today alone, I think I went out and got, they go by weight, not dollar value. I was at 3,500 pounds today. We got donated. And last weekend we did about 4,000 pounds. Richard's got an ego, and
really?
We're trying to just stick it to him. But it's everybody wins. I mean, there's not a loser in this. If he loses, which he's going to, then he has to come to Maple Valley and take a picture with us and conceit. And his wife and them still live in Maple Valley, and I've been in contact with her a couple times, and she likes to push. I love it. And so if you guys get a chance, on Saturday we're going to be at Walmart in Covington. On Sunday we're going to be at Grocery Outlet. We don't have a real grocery store here, so we might try to set up in front of the Lakes Area Grocery to get donations. But the goal is 20,000 pounds before Thanksgiving. I think last weekend we ended up with like 75 turkeys to give away. So we're really just the Grocery Outlet, the guys, people there, they have a special where if you spend 30 bucks, you get turkey for 10 bucks, and we ended up with like 900 bucks and just stacks of turkeys. So it's just something to give back. And then after Thanksgiving, we're going to be in a big coat drive. And I was told by the folks at Black Diamond, they don't need coats. They've got it handled. but we're going to find whatever they need and help them. And there's a small group of us in all three cities coming together to give back to you guys and whatever you guys need. This is one way that we're doing it. And it's consumed me the past two weekends next to my son. It's kind of distracted me from my son. So, but outside of that, Chris, I'm glad you beat me. I wish I could work with you longer. You're a friend. I think that at the end of the day, I'm probably more excited to hear from you out there than right here because you're unfiltered.
Careful what you ask for.
And just know that you're leaving big shoes to fill. Christiana's going to be excited to have you come on. You're going to be filling some big shoes, and look forward to working with you as well. So, but just, I know where you live.
Councilmember Page.
So I attended some of the same meetings that my fellow council members have regarding the utility rate study information. That was really a informative meeting for me. And I think the thing that I noticed in that meeting is the commitment of my fellow council members to really be advocates for our residents and be cost conscious and really evaluate whether, you know, there is an increase needed or not, and look at avenues to avoid that. So I think that's, you know, for our residents, we should feel good about that. Attended the Finance Committee meeting. I also scheduled some meetings with staff in the city, met with Andy and went through a lot of what his scope of, you know, responsibilities are. It was very informative to me. Met with May in the finance department, and that was equally informative. Met with IT to discuss some of the, you know, things that they're rolling out. And I guess my comment is you don't probably see it on a day-to-day basis, but we really have in this city a good top caliber committed set of people working for all of our residents. So I guess, you know, that's kind of another observation I would make. Other than that, I think that's my report.
Thank you. Do we have an attorney's report?
Not tonight, Mayor.
Okay, it's time for a second public comments. Those wishing to address council, please come up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Does anybody wish to address council? Bob?
Bob Edelman, Black Diamond. The discussion on the homeless just triggered a memory. Several years ago, I was working election integrity for a think tank in Olympia. And one of the things I looked at, I went to the precinct where King County was, I guess it's the King County headquarters building or office building is located. a lot of people don't realize, but our law allows the homeless to register to vote, but they have to specify their residence. And for the homeless, that is generally where they hang out. It could be a street corner in front of a Starbucks or a government building. There's a lot of homeless, King County homeless, at the had registered at the King County, what's the word I'm looking for, the administration building. I looked into it. There's also, I found a lot of illegal registrations, people who registered at their place of business, registered that as their home address. You can't do that. But in looking into that, I found a justice of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals registered as a homeless. and her husband, who was a law professor emeritus from the University of Washington, delving into that, found that she had registered there in order to hide her place of residence because she was afraid of the Mexican mafia. I didn't have any difficulty, by the way. Maybe they could let me into the Mexican mafia, but I didn't have any difficulty finding her home of reference. In fact, my point is, you may... Well, I don't know, Janie. What would you like my point to be?
Your 3 minutes.
My point is that it's actually on election integrity, you may find a lot of the homeless people are people who are hiding their place of residence, and they end up being counted as homeless. By the way, one of them, another one we found was a sheriff in Spokane area.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We are going to be having an executive session. so I would like to have people clear council chambers.
20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Potential and pending litigation.
No action to follow. I call this meeting back to order.
I make a motion to adjourn.
What?
Oh.
No.
You can still talk.
You can retract it. Yeah.
No, I was going to make a motion.
Oh.
You want to make the last motion.
You can make it.
Make the last
retract,
motion.
You have to
retract the last motion.
All right. I move we adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.